RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Dr. Oliver Hardwich is Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. He was previously on this program back in July. We were talking then about his observations in Ireland, welcoming foreign business investment and valuing success in education. And in May, just a little earlier than that, he was here on how localism operates in Switzerland and what New Zealand can learn from them. And Oliver is back with us to talk about Germany's solution for New Zealand's local government woes. Oliver, thanks for coming back on.
Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Okay, first question, unrelated, though it could be related eventually. The Trump win, what do you make of it? What does it tell us? What does it say to the United States and the world? What do you reckon?
Oh, God, how much time do we have? Well, first of all, it showed that once again, polls were wrong and betting markets worked a lot better. The other thing I think is actually that the Democrats simply didn't have the right topics, because they talked about their favorite issues of the day, completely ignoring, of course, that ordinary voters have some other real pressing issues, like dealing with the cost of living and actually concerns about migration. So I think it should be a wake-up call for center-left parties around the world that if they ever want to win elections again, they need to listen to the concerns of ordinary people. And that's what Trump did, and that's what the Democrats didn't.
Yeah, center-left. So that could apply to our local government as well. Extrapolating all that, it might give them a bit of a wake-up as to how people might be starting to think here. Do we have a problem in local government, number one? Seems that in some places we do, but do we?
Yes, we have a problem in local government. In fact, I think we've got lots of problems in local government. I mean, where do you want to start? We have a problem with local government that is actually quite weak. In most other countries, local government is more powerful, can decide more things locally. In New Zealand, we seem to do everything via the center in Wellington. Not that that works particularly well either. And the other problem with local government is it is struggling, really, with a lack of finance. It's actually often against the state limit. It is struggling to deliver the kind of infrastructure that it needs to have to promote economic growth, housing development, and it needs different funding sources, and it doesn't have them. And then on top of all of that is, of course, we have a problem in local government where the elected representatives, so our councillors and mayors, are struggling to actually getting anything done, because in the end, it is actually local administrations, so bureaucracies, that are actually calling the shots at local government level. And I think we need to have a debate about how to structurally reform local government so that the people we elect can actually make the decisions that we want them to make.
Yeah, because the assumption is if you're the mayor, you're the leader, and what you say kind of goes top down, but that's not how it works, right?
It's not at all how it works. So we've had quite a few examples recently in New Zealand of elected members, so councillors and mayors, struggling to get their ideas past the administration. And actually, in some cases, even trying to get information from their bureaucracies. So they have to resort to the local government equivalent of the Official Information Act to actually find out what's happening in their own councils. And I've heard that from one councillor here in Wellington, that sometimes they're just getting all the information dumped on them the day before the vote in council. So they have absolutely no chance of really figuring out what's going on. And then we had other stories, of course, just a few months ago from the Wairarapa, where a council administration tried to inform a council, an elected councillor, that the councillor shouldn't vote in a council vote because they had previously campaigned on an issue and therefore there was a conflict of interest. I mean, it's absurd. I mean, if you campaign on something and you get elected to council and you then want to vote on something, I mean, that's what you've been elected for. But the council officials try to tell that particular councillor that they should really withdraw from that vote because there was some perceived conflict of interest. So it's actually absurd.
Is this a left-right thing? I mean, let's say you've got leftist-leaning administrators in the council who have a vision, and I'm thinking of Wellington, and we all know what we're talking about, what's been going on there, that they think is the way to go. And so therefore, they will use the way local government is set up to make sure that happens, regardless of the elected officials. I mean, if you're dumping all the data the day before, I mean, it's common sense to know that that's not ideal. right? I mean, that's not ideal.
That's right. But I don't think it's a left-right thing. I'm not a particular fan of Wellington City Council, and I'm probably not even a particular fan of the current mayor. And yet, I would say that whatever is going wrong in Wellington is not necessarily all the mayor's fault or the council's fault, the elected councillors. I think in some ways, the whole thing is driven by the bureaucracy, what some people might call the blob. I think it is unfair to focus on the mayor. I mean, the mayor is one vote on the council, and she doesn't really have much more power than any of the other elected councillors. But in any case, my impression, especially in Wellington's case, it is actually the bureaucracy driving the development of Wellington City Council and not the elected councillors.
So I think you chatted to Oliver Witke, forgive my pronunciation if I haven't got that correct, who I think was the Lord Mayor of Gelsenkirchen, city with a population similar to Wellington, let's say, and he was 33 at the time.
Good German pronunciations are pretty good.
Okay, so he was there in 1999. He's since gone on to be a national political figure.
Yep.
But tell us about what took place in North Rhine-Westphalia, population 18 million, that resolved this issue, this problem that we could look to as a resolution for us, let's say.
Well, as I was watching the things going on around Wellington City Council, what came to my mind was actually the reforms that North Rhine-Westphalia had in the 1990s that you mentioned. I have to give you a bit of a background story, really, to explain where I'm coming from. So North Rhine-Westphalia was a creation of the British occupation forces after the Second World War. Before that, actually, the state didn't even exist. There were various provinces. There was the Rhineland. There was Westphalia. The Brits came and, in a typical fit of British nation building, created that state of North Rhine-Westphalia, which is a bit absurd in a way because Rhinelanders and Westphalians have very little in common, you should know. The Westphalians are probably the Scots of Germany and the Rhinelanders are the Italians of Germany. So you kind of get the idea. So you merge them together and put them into one state, and it's, of course, a recipe for genuine happiness. So that's what happened after the war. The other thing the Brits did was not only did they create the state, they also gave it their own local government system. They gave North Rhine-Westphalia the distinction between the chief exec and the mayor. So pretty much the New Zealand model. It's the British model of running local government. What happened then was that the Germans tried to make this work for more than 40 years. But they were never really particularly happy with it because everybody remembered that the mayor was the decisive figure in town, except under the new British model, the mayor wasn't anymore. And so there were always some grumblings about this model that the Brits gave us. And, oh, really, do we want to make this work? And can we reform it? And then really after 40 years, they've had enough. And all parties in the state parliament, I mean, really from the left to the right, so the Social Democrats, the Christian Democrats, the Greens, and the Liberal FDP said this model doesn't work. We have to do something different. And so they reformed it. They abolished the position of chief executive for the council in Germany that was called an Oberstadtdirektor. And they merged it with the office of mayor. And now there was an executive mayor. So the mayor was actually in charge of the local administration. And the mayor was, of course, still the political figurehead, so the mayor. And the mayor now was the most important person in that council. And that reform was agreed to in the mid-1990s with a vote in a state parliament in 1994. And in 1999, the first directly elected executive mayors took office in the state of North Westphalia. It's, by the way, Germany's most populous state. You're right. It's 18 million people. It's the area, just for orientation, close to the Netherlands, with cities like Cologne, Düsseldorf, Dortmund, Essen. So it's a relatively big part of West Germany. So the mayors came in, and I thought actually it would be nice to now talk to one of those first round mayors. And I remember in my hometown was Essen, but in the town where I was born and neighboring city of Gelsenkirchen, there was a mayor called Oliver Witke, and he was elected in 1999. He is a Christian Democrat, so center-right politician. even though Gelsenkirchen is traditionally a social democratic stronghold. And so it was quite a big story, actually, Wittke winning the mayoralty in 99. For the first time ever, the city got a center-right mayor, and it was the first executive mayor after that reform model. And so we wanted to figure out how did that work, and had a long podcast conversation with Oliver Wittke, and it was absolutely fascinating because he said it was a massive change. People always thought the mayor was important when it wasn't the case, and the reforms actually aligned the expectations with reality. And the other thing was he was suddenly aged 33 in charge of running a city council employing 6,000 people with a budget of more than €1 billion. And for a 33-year-old, that was actually quite a challenge. And yet he said it worked because finally the mayor had a proper say, and finally the mayor had a proper status where the mayor could actually do stuff. And then we asked Mayor Wittke, he later became a state minister and then a parliamentary secretary in Berlin. We asked, so looking back now, I mean, he became a mayor 25 years ago. The reforms go back even longer. What is the current take on that model in the state of North Rhine-Westphalia? And he said, actually, no one would want to go back to the old British distinction between a chief exec and a mayor. The new model has gained widespread acceptance because people now realize that it works. It works a lot better. And he said you could now talk to his colleagues or former colleagues. You could talk to state politicians, left, right, and center. No one would want to go back to the old failed British model. And it failed for all the same reasons why our local government sector in New Zealand fails, why Wellington City Council doesn't work particularly well. And I thought, there is a lesson for us here. If you really want to get more functional local government, maybe we have to change the way it works. Maybe we have to change the way it governs. And if you want to get an idea of actually how these reforms can work in practice, not just in theory, there's no better way than checking with the North Rhine-Westphalians, because they had precisely New Zealand's local government system and they changed it. And it's now 25 years later after the reforms, and we can see the results, and they really worked.
What are the chances, though, Oliver? Because the way things have operated, as we're finding out now, they've been there for a long time. It's so ingrained, right?
Yeah, it is ingrained. And generally speaking, I mean, economic reforms and political reforms always take a while. But then again, there is this massive amount of dissatisfaction with local government right now. And it doesn't matter who you talk to. Nobody believes that this system really works. No one believes it delivers. And you talk to politicians, both Labour and national politicians, and they will all say the same, that dealing with local government from a national government perspective is a disaster because you don't even know who to talk to anymore. Do you want to talk to a mayor when the mayor has little say? Do you want to talk to the whole councils, or do you actually want to talk straight away to the administration at the local level? And so I think we might have a chance of getting this reform simply because the frustration is so big right now.
And does the issue of finances drive a change like that as well? Because the other thing we hear a lot about is that the system of rating is kind of on its knees now.
Yeah, but I think that's a separate issue. I agree it would be good to reform that as well, but I think we need to kind of keep the two issues separate from each other. If we want to change governance, I mean, we'll do that relatively straight away because it's actually not that hard. When we talk about financial reforms, they will probably take a bit longer because the matters are more complicated. But ideally, I think we should want to do both. I'm just saying that we should start somewhere, and the governance changes are probably much more straightforward to achieve.
Yeah, okay. So you feel a bit sorry for mayors then, right? Well, not you particularly, but the assumption is they have this sort of power and people criticize them for not exercising perceived power or management. Yet the reality is they actually don't have it.
Yes. And the thing is, actually, I know quite a few councillors and mayors personally. Despite what the public thinks, that they are all just idiots who don't know what they're doing, that's not true. There are some really good people in the system, but they have no chance. They can't actually achieve anything. They can't make anything work because the whole system is stacked against them. So I feel for those people who are actually quite qualified, well-meaning, with the best intentions, and who would probably, in a corporate environment, succeed. But in the current setup we have in local government, they have no chance. And I want to change that.
Of course, the council officers could actually listen to the councillors, making the assumption that they've actually been elected and it's their ass on the line if things don't go well.
But why would they? Because under the current system, councillors will always have the final word, the final say, and so they're pursuing their own strategies. I mean, that's basically what public choice economics would predict. Why would they listen to an elected representative? Because there's no incentive. You can basically get all your other stuff done regardless. You don't even have to listen to anyone with an electoral mandate.
Interesting. If people want to go and check out the piece, the article, it's on newzealandinitiative.org.nz. Just search it out, German Solution for New Zealand's Local Government Woes, and a link to the podcast in that story as well if people want to listen, right, Oliver?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what people say. Thank you for coming on and informing us of that. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.